Oh, and I also rolled the tape for 14 minutes ahead of time.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
I'm in.
You guys said some entertaining things that might find their way into the outtakes.
I don't think we did.
I deny all allegations. All right, let's do this. We should stop slacking and do a show. Hello, welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. We're broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer, even in the summer heat.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication, and the internet, indigestion from eating a burrito too fast, and today, biking for the first time.
Hells yes. And we are joined, not by one Flores, but by two.
We're joined by one Flores.
Okay, yeah.
And then the other Flores has kind of always been here.
So we have the standard issue, the run-of-the-mill Flores.
just that everyone everyday
is, everyone is used to. And then we have the out-of-town Flores, Dan. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
I like how you're kind of winding up for the pitch on that one as though it was going to be like something really, really, I was going to come out like a statesman, like, thank you for having me or something like that. And then it was just like, hi. So
no, I'll tell you what happened is he's sitting here trying to think of something clever to say and nothing clever came to him. So he just had to say, you're welcome.
That's the case, as often happens. Yeah.
I don't know. What happened here?
It's like, I'm going to say something funny, and then I'm like, man, lots of people are going to listen to this. I'm going to sound like an idiot. Like, no matter what I say, I'm just going to sound like an idiot.
Let me put your fears to rest right now. You will not sound like an idiot. I won't let you. As a matter of fact, yes. I have the idiot compression on the board right now that tunes out the things that
Mike shuts off when yes. idiocisms come out.
Right, right. It has a threshold. I just set that threshold. So I might adjust it lower just for, you know, just so it sounds real.
Okay.
So we don't lose the quality of the voice. But anyways.
I need more liquid courage.
So we do. We
yeah,
are drinking.
That. What are we drinking?
We're drinking some really interesting things. I have in my hand the Bud Light Lime, Straw Bear Rita. Three different words separated by hyphens.
Did they spell out bear like the animal?
No, it's B-E-R. So it's more like straw burrita.
Straw burrita.
Yeah, it says margarita with a twist. Malt beverage with natural flavors, artificial sweetener, and artificial colors. So the only thing real in here contains alcohol. Is really the alcohol in the malt. Yeah. But you know. And you, Aaron, you're just about to open.
This thing is called Power Malt. Extra energy, alcohol-free malt beverage.
So that doesn't even have real alcohol.
It does not.
But it probably has real flavors. There are no real flavors in my beverage.
Oh, dude, this thing smells like molasses.
It kind of looks like a bottle of molasses, actually, was what I was thinking.
Oh, this is terrible. Yeah. Oh, this is gross.
Let me try. This smells horrible. You smell this.
Exactly.
Here,
I was going to say
that's
exactly it. Yeah.
Oh, this is delicious. That's what it's supposed to taste like. It's
okay.
Malt soda.
Okay.
I don't know. I like them.
Well, and Dan, you have spent some time in Colombia, right?
Yes.
And that's where they have, I mentioned earlier, the Goya beverage.
That's one of them. And the other one is Pony.
Pony. Okay. And is that Pony like a horse or?
Yeah, it's spelled Pony like a horse. Okay. They use a lot of.
What does that mean in Spanish?
Pony? No, it's oddly enough. Okay. So you know how like, we try to sell stuff in the U.S. by saying, oh, it's German-made. Oh, this is the best bicycle in the world because it's German-made. Or
right.
Sham wow. This is German. The Germans make this stuff. They know how to make good stuff.
The sham wow.
They know how to make chamois.
They know how to make good chamois. So in Colombia, they always market stuff with U.S., you know, connotations in the background. So it's a malt soda with English Pony written on it.
Nice.
I see. Nice. But it is made in Colombia?
Yeah, it's made in Colombia. Nobody wants to drink it here.
No, they don't.
I like it. I think it tastes good, but sorry.
You might be able to finish my power malt then.
That's That's opposed to the inverse situation in which you get like a Chinese tattoo that's supposed to mean like peace and harmony or something, but it actually says slut or something along those lines. So I've heard.
It says garden slug.
Right, right. So how's that mic there? I gotcha. You sound... Oh, it's out again.
Actually, I can't even hear through my headphones right now.
Interesting. Yeah, we've been having issues with the electronics, I guess. So there's that. Let me mute and unmute you. There we go.
Check yourself. Beautiful. Before you wreck yourself.
That's it.
So are you getting it?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got nothing.
Nothing? You should check your headphone connection and see if it...
There it goes.
Yeah?
Yep. That was it.
There we go.
That was it. Fantastic. Oh, wow. Everything's like really clear now.
Yeah.
Okay, so all this time before we started the show and I was complaining about sound.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was my mic.
Oh.
I keep fiddling with the wires and everything.
And the mic does have issues.
But it turns out it was actually the headphones.
Right, right. It happens. So, well, you guys did some interesting stuff today.
Oh, my goodness.
And Dan, you've been in town
for... We did some stuff. We saw some shit.
It's been 3 days that you've been in town in Portland?
It was supposed to be just a 3-hour tour.
Okay.
Things went horribly awry.
A 3-hour tour. Exactly.
Array.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk about that. We've got a little bit. We've got like one piece of mail. And we've got...
News.
Some news. And I think that's what we have on the docket for today.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a pretty relaxed show.
Yeah.
I think.
We haven't done a relaxed show in a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
We've done all of these like really hard-hitting journalist news.
No, really, what do you think of the communist agenda?
Yeah.
Emily Finch.
I mean, right, right. Yeah. Her and Ethan were both... I saw them at Velocult at the CRC is Dead party. They were both like reeling from our interviews.
Did you go to the CRC is Dead
party? I did.
Party? Okay.
I did.
Did we talk about this already?
Dan... No, we didn't really. Dan...
Not your brother.
Not my brother.
Not the bus driver.
No, the musical disco trike driver.
Dan Kaufman.
Thank you. I couldn't remember his last name. He played really good.
Oh, nice.
I didn't get to hear the dinosaur song, but
all right,
which is my favorite of his.
Dinosaurs Bite. You can hear that one on the episode that we did with he and Zed.
That's right.
Yeah.
And of course, Zed showed up too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was fun. I got to hear a lot of different people's perspectives on the CRC. There was a lady there.
And the CRC, just for anyone who is not aware, right. Although just about everybody should be by now, the ill-fated project that will no longer be built to replace the I-5 bridge
between
Washington and Oregon. We don't know?
Well, I don't know. Some people still think. There's some people that are still holding the hope.
If like, you build it, then
what do we do with that grant? We already got that grant money.
Yeah.
We already spent it.
On planning.
That's code.
For something that won't be built.
Right.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. If you build it, they will come. That was the thing that everyone was saying, which was kind of the problem, because if you build a 12-lane bridge, you're just going to have 12 lanes of rush hour traffic instead of four.
Yep.
So.
San Antonio's going through the same thing.
I mean,
I guess they've been forever. Their whole idea was like, well, it's really crowded here, so we'll build like, you know, 5 more lanes over here or 12 more lanes over there, and then... Just it's exactly like that, just more rush hour traffic.
Twice as many people say, hey, we should go downtown.
It's like, wow, now I'm stuck in traffic and I have to get 4 lanes over instead of just 2 lanes over.
Right.
And I'm going to miss my exit.
Yeah, yeah. So, Aaron, what happened at the party?
What happened at the party? So we went to the party. Actually, it turns out they were not there for the party. They were there sort of as a wrap-up kind of meeting.
Okay, in spite of the party.
In spite of the party.
I've been at Velocult in spite of parties a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those was Ethan's birthday party. I don't think... We hadn't really met, really, at that point. Like, we weren't good enough friends, I think, for me to make the invite list.
We knew who he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's way more famous than we are, so...
Definitely.
I was just kind of like, well, I guess his birthday
is
happening
Although we're
getting
up there, man. We might just...
Well, maybe.
I don't know. Anyhow, so they were there as like this sort of like wrap up meeting for the disaster relief trials.
Oh, right.
And of course, like the CRC is Dead party is going on at the same time. But no, they actually didn't mention the interview other than Emily Finch yelling my name from across the store and everybody kind of like staring at us.
You kind of got the fanfare, the announcement.
Aaron Flores! And that was like Yeah, everybody like stops what they're doing.
Right, and you're like, yes, thank you.
Thank you.
You resume as like you were.
Was it like an old-fashioned movie or like an old-fashioned, like an action movie? You got a lot of guts showing up here, Flores. It took a lot of guts to get you.
The saloon door is swinging behind you.
I didn't expect to see you here.
The honky-tonk piano stops.
I didn't expect you to expect me to see me here.
Shot of a guy with whiskey halfway to his mouth, eyes darting furtively. Exactly. Yeah.
I need you for one last job.
Precisely.
No, I thought of this great thing. So I left, and they're like, both Ethan and Emily were like sort of facing the window. So they're like, we waved goodbye to each other. And I thought of this great thing I could have done at that time. I could have totally done the whole like Goodwill Hunting thing and be like, do you like apples?
Well, you like apples?
Well, that's good because they're good for you.
They're good for you.
And I like them too. But I didn't. I didn't do that.
Preventative medicine. Eat one a day.
That would have been funny. I like that idea. Well,
maybe I'll get to do that exiting Velo Cult sometime.
Yeah. Well, you'll have plenty of chances.
That's right. Yeah. I often exit Velo Cult.
Do you exit through the front or through the rear?
Usually through the front.
Okay, yeah.
And then walk all the way around the two buildings to get my bike in the rear.
Yeah.
Can I say on air that I got to see?
Yeah.
I got to see the tour. It was awesome.
Sky
amazing.
Gave you the tour. I can't believe he did that. Like, so
he said,
tell me what happened. Tell me what
he
happened.
He said, hey, you seem like a cool guy. Don't tell Aaron this. But you wanna go see the swingers room? I was like, heck yeah. We go down there, champagne, whiskey everywhere, right? Yeah, he's like,
I don't think there were not actual beverages.
Poles, women.
Could you put your
everywhere.
Keys in this fishbowl here? We're going to have a drawing later.
We're going to have a drawing later.
No, actually,
that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah. There was no residue of beverages or liquid. There was no there were no poles or women, but there was shag carpet and some fantastic antique decorations
on
the walls.
It was pretty cool, yeah.
That little green room down there is fantastic.
Our interview took place in that.
Yeah, that's where we talked to Sky the first time.
Yeah.
Not the first time, but the first time he was on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some chains. There was a guy in a leather mask.
Shut up. There wasn't.
I'm like,
I can say this is
false.
This
seems weird.
I can say this is.
I'm like, this is kind of odd. He's like, just drink this. I'm like, what are those two fuzzy tablets bubbling at the bottom of this drink? Just drink it.
It's flavor.
Are you cool or not? Are you down with it or not? Okay.
Story's getting way better.
See, this is why I don't like your brother. He doesn't drink anything.
This is why I don't like your brother. You're way cooler than him. You're not a big wimp.
Well, I will say that Dan Flores is far easier to roofie. We do know this.
You have no idea.
But that was your first time at Velo Cult. Had you seen anything remotely like that place before?
No.
Okay, because that's a bike shop, it's a bar, and...
I once like went to a movie theater bar. Is that kind of close?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there is no bikes there.
They're kind of a lot. There's a lot of those around here too. Actually,
okay.
Dan, that's chump change. Seriously.
Okay. No, that was the first time. It was really neat. It was really cool.
Yeah. No, it was fun. And we had I think two beverages each there. I was one ahead of you the entire time.
My bad.
Because it happens. Tonight's your chance to catch up. Because you have
God,
the
don't do that to me.
You have the Coors shotgunning mouth.
With the special shotgun
I never got
button.
To say what I was drinking.
Yes,
right.
Please.
Sorry.
Please
local,
explain.
A local brewer. It's called Coors Liet.
Local to the western half of the United States.
It's the Silver Bullet. When the mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies.
Is that
were the mountains blue when you got it? Do you remember?
I don't know. I've already drank and passed the mountains.
This is... Wait, so does it actually have like a cold activated color?
Yeah, the mountains turn blue. You never seen
I
that?
Missed that.
Yeah.
I don't drink a lot of Coors.
Oh, I mean, I don't either. I just read it and I thought, you know, it must have been blue when I drank it.
Precisely. Yeah. I will say this, this Lime-A-Rita, it tastes a little bit like a margarita and it's not really as good at all.
How about the strawberry in there?
The strawberry tastes like, it's like a Jolly Rancher.
What's the twist? Okay.
The twist with lime, I think.
Oh.
The twist is that Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
I was about to say that exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I knew that's exactly where you're going.
Right. I mean, it's all right. It's better than Bud Light with lime without the strawberry flavor.
Cool.
I will say that.
Wait, so there is a Bud Light with lime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That came out before the straw. Come on, Aaron. It came out before the
you're talking
straw.
To the guy.
I don't know. This is why it's so hard to roofie me.
It's so hard to roofie.
You're talking to the guy who drinks the non-alcoholic malt beverage.
Right.
Yeah.
That's actually, I don't know, that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But you like it. You're into
it. I like it because I've spent a lot of time in Colombia, and when I drink it, I think, ah, Colombia.
Yeah.
Trying to get over a hangover.
It's the good memories of the country.
Yeah.
So you've been there when they shut down the main street, Siete?
Yeah, Septimo is
Septimo.
What it's called.
I totally got it wrong.
Well, it's the Siete is the county number 7, and then Septimo is the cardinal number 7.
Oh, I see. Okay.
With the TH at the end. So,
yeah, it's the conjugated version.
Sure. Not really, but I don't want to. I mean,
you don't have to argue linguistics with me.
The host,
yeah,
but.
It's okay. No, please. There's one thing I don't know about its language.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so every Sunday, well, they shut it down twice. Friday nights, they shut it down, and then but they don't shut the whole street down. They shut down the downtown portion down, and they have street performers there, and you can go and listen to live music, watch people juggle flaming swords, because, like, their laws are a little bit more lax.
Right, on the flaming sword issue.
You can go there with your children and watch them juggle flaming swords over your baby if you pay them enough.
Over your baby? Have you seen this?
No, not over the baby.
Okay, that's
but
good.
Yes, like
near children.
Children gathered around people chuckling flaming swords or whatever.
You're right, because one, they're on fire. So. Two, they're sharp. Three, they'll kill you dead. So.
Yes.
Yeah, so. That's a number of
and
reasons.
It just hurt.
Right,
you know?
Number four.
It's just not fun.
I think hurting comes before it kills you dead. So
right.
Yeah, but I mean, it's entertaining at the very least.
It's way cool. Yeah, they do a lot of neat stuff. Like stuff, I don't know. Stuff that's maybe dangerous, but it's still way cool to watch and live in person. So that's the first time they'll shut it down weekly. And then the second time is Sunday during the day. And I think it's like 7 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. And I'd always wake up at noon and be like, all right, I'm going to go this time. And then go back to bed.
That's how I am with Sunday Parkways here in town.
Yeah.
More or less.
But when they shut it down on Sundays, they shut it down from one end of Bogota all the way to the other. I don't know the exact mileage, but it's just neat. You can drive the entire city up and down.
Right, right.
Yeah, ride.
Yeah, but without the benefit or the dubious benefit of a combustion engine, you get to ride your bike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds super cool.
Yeah, I always thought it'd be neat if like somebody did a skateboarding video, you know, and just like grinded on all the, because there's tons of like concrete structures. That's their material of choice.
Concrete?
Yeah, it's concrete for everything.
Is it sculpted concrete?
I guess sometimes. I don't know what's the difference.
Or is it just square?
Oh, no. Yeah. It's all different shapes and stuff.
Because
it's like, I mean, there's not a whole lot of city ordinances and codes. You know, it's a little bit more free, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Like the fire juggling and all.
Like fire juggling swords. I don't know. I love Colombia.
Yeah. But. Yeah. That's really cool. I would say, I'm sure in some ways you probably have easier access to simpler living in that country than in this one, in some ways at least.
You got to have money, though. I mean, if you don't have money, then you're kind of stuck with, well, I don't know. Yeah. What do you mean by simpler living?
Well, I was just thinking about it, kind of like you're saying, again, with the sword juggling, like you can kind of do more of what you want to do. So you kind of define your terms a bit more as far as the lifestyle you want to lead.
Yeah.
Would you say there's any less social pressure to have stuff, or the money you were saying is kind of still a driving factor?
Yeah. Yeah. There's still a lot of social pressure because, well, yes and no. I mean, the country is like over 90% Catholic, and so there's that pressure there. But then at the same time, maybe only 20% are practicing Catholics.
Okay.
I mean, I'm kind of shooting from the hip.
But right.
I
sure.
Mean, we can look it up later on Wikipedia or something if you want. But
that's a lot of pressure there.
Yeah. So, you know, especially the older generation. It's like the typical Latin American, you know, older generation trying to impress on the younger people, you need to do this, you need to be married by this age, you needed to do that and that and that.
Okay.
Yeah. But what is really neat that I think about Colombia, and I kind of seen this here, there's like tons of mom and pop shops. So when I was living, and I hate to keep bringing up San Antonio, so I won't. I was living at this other place, I think it was called like San Andreas.
I love that town. I hear the music scene is fantastic there.
The traffic sucks. In,
traffic's horrible there. But, I mean, I was living there, and I was living in a giant subdivision, and it was like, well, I need, you know, window cleaner, you know, for my windows because I'm cleaning windows. That's the only thing I'm out of, and that's
Wait,
the only
you
thing
need
I
window
need.
Window cleaner for windows?
This is an example, yes.
Oh, okay. So,
I've never done that.
But the nearest place you can get it is Walmart, which is, like, it doesn't matter whether
it's
you're
still,
going.
Even if it's the nearest place, it's still, like, you know,
it's
a mile
always
or
a 20
so.
Minute drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Always a 20 minute drive. At least, in, I mean, from what I've seen, anywhere you go, it's always a 20 minute drive.
In this fictional Texas metropolis.
Yes. With giant highways blinding the skyline.
Right, right.
Taller than the buildings themselves, but
I do like the idea that you just have like freeway lane upon freeway lane that like is higher than the high rises.
Yeah,
I'm sure somewhere that exists.
Yeah, I wouldn't know where though. But yeah. Anyways, but in Colombia and kind of like here, what I've seen here, there's like tons of mom and pop shops. You can just go down, every neighborhood has their own butcher,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes has two or three butchers.
Right.
Every neighborhood has their own bakery. Every neighborhood has their own mini grocery store, and they just run these things out of their living room.
Which is pretty cool.
It is way cool. Or you just go up, because a lot of times they have like gates. Everything mm-hmm. is gated over there, too. Like the windows, the doors, everything's like iron bars.
Okay.
So you just go up to the window and kind of like tap on the window, and everybody in the neighborhood knows this person sells beer, this person sells groceries, this person sells milk, and you just go and tap on the window. And be like,
kind of like a speakeasy kind of deal.
Yeah, you have to know the neighborhood.
Right, right.
you
gotta
pay
know
admission.
The right people to get the stuff that you need.
Yeah. Admission to see the blind pig, and then you get a baguette for free.
A lot of them have signs and stuff like that, but you have to speak this language called Espanol.
Okay, yeah. I've heard of this. Yeah, are you pretty fluent?
Si.
Yeah. Yeah, that was perfect.
I translated that in my head. This is what I want to say in English. I'm going to translate it real quick and then just say it out there.
Bam. Throw
it out
there. The prowess, the linguistic prowess of this man.
See.
Yeah. And you're heading back there at some point. So,
yeah.
After this week.
Yep.
Nice.
That's my plan. So I got
to. Are you going back to Bogota or?
No, I'm going to Neiva, which is a city.
Which is outside of Bogota.
It's like a different city. It's 7 hours, six and a half by bus south of Bogota.
What are the buses like?
I didn't realize how far it was.
It's like a completely different city. Yeah.
Yeah.
What the buses?
Yeah, what are the buses like?
They're nice. They're pretty nice. It all depends. I mean, you can, it's whatever you want to pay for.
Uh-huh.
So
you have several tiers?
Yeah, yes. So Ko'o Motor is the one that I usually go on. And
is that the Platinum Club?
Kind of. Like, they go through and they take your picture. They do, like, a video. This is everybody that was on the bus in case this bus gets kidnapped or destroyed.
Oh,
interesting.
So they know every single person that's on there.
Fascinating.
And then
they
lock you inside the bus. I don't know. I felt more secure. I was like, all right, yeah, this is cool. And then there's other ones where it's like you're sharing the bus with, farm animals, and chickens.
Yeah.
And then there's some where it's like a van. It's mm-hmm. some guy, he just happens to have a permit that he can park at bus stations.
Okay.
And
it's like a personal taxi almost?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And he's just out there walking around, hey, I got three more seats.
Yeah.
I got three more seats. Hey,
or it's like the, yeah.
Except it's in Spanish.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like, I got...
Tres more seats.
Tres more citos. I'm sorry. I really do speak better Spanish than that.
No, it's okay. We're gunning for humor at this point. It's good.
Okay.
No,
it's like I set my people back 100 years.
In the perception of the Sprocket Podcast audience.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking of our friends, the Eads, John and Leah. Proprietors.
They're living out in Paraguay.
Yeah, proprietors of Give Pizza a Chance. No. Used to be proprietors of Give Pizza a Chance. Now
they sold that
Pyro
to Scott
Pizza.
Davidson, and yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Pyro. Yeah. Neighbors of Potato Champion, home of the best poutine in Portland. Unless you take issue, is there a better poutine in Portland?
Well, I was trying to think if they're not the only poutine in Portland.
I think there might be at least one other, but I can't think of what it is.
Yeah.
So making
that was actually the ending destination on the Canada ride that I
was
did.
Was it?
Yeah, but... It was we did the ride on a Monday, and the carts are all closed on Mondays.
Oh yeah, Monday is like service industry Sunday,
pretty much
Saturday or something. It's like their first day off. So, yeah.
So we ended up at Lucky Lab.
Okay, there you
go. Anyways, Paraguay.
Not very Canadian. Yeah, no, I was just thinking that they've been sending updates from their time down there, and some of the stories and pictures about bus riding is just like the variety of service that you get and the different kinds of things you get to ride. And sometimes, yeah, traveling with animals and produce and whatnot, it's kind of cool. I like that idea.
I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know. I hope but anyways, I got a quick story.
Yeah.
As long as the Colombian government isn't listening.
Okay.
As far as we know.
Colombian government, tune out now.
Please.
For the next like 5-10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
So my girlfriend's like, we had this plan to go from Neiva to Ibagué. No, it wasn't Ibagué. It was Manizales. So we had this plan to go to Neiva to Manizales. And we were going to buy these tickets. I don't know. It was like another like 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. Listeners like a gauge of like.
Oh, okay. How far? I don't remember exactly, but I think it was like 4 or 5 hours, maybe more. But so we wanted to buy tickets. Tickets were already sold out, and she was like, "Let me handle this. I can get us a seat, right?" And so she talks to the driver, and directly to the driver. And you're not supposed to do that. You're only supposed to like go through these associates. Driver's like, "Yeah, no problem. I'll hook you up." So we get on this taxi. We go to the gas station. We pay for the taxi to go to the gas station where the driver was going to go fuel up. The driver pulls in there. And goes to fuel up. We pay the driver not the full price of a ticket, but like a partial price of the ticket.
The van driver?
No, a bus, like the a bus full driver. Bus. But okay. The bus seats were all full. And we go to the back of the bus where the luggage is, where they have a lot of luggage underneath, but they also have luggage in the back.
Okay.
But it was just this small little compartment.
So you're like riding in the trunk of the bus.
Yes.
You just got to pack yourselves in there.
We could, like, we were, at first, we both were sitting one on each side, you know, with our, like, knees up to our chest.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, it's just going to be better if we lay down next to each other. And she's like, this is so uncomfortable. And I'm like, just accept it. We're going to die.
Roll with it.
Just accept it. Let it go. I'm happy I get to die with you.
Wow.
Just accept it. But halfway through the trip, they let a bunch of people go. Like, they were at their stop. And so once half the bus, like, was off, then we came out of the luggage place and just took some empty seats.
Then he let you out.
Yeah, then he let us
out. Okay, there you go.
I've decided it's not worth roofing you.
Well, that
I'm very easily roofied and tricked into.
It's a happy ending to a tight spot, I guess.
Very, very that's easily true. Tricked like, into that's, dangerous that's situations. Scary. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you made it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I mean,
you're
know.
Not. Wait.
No, it's like that's not the most dangerous my life's been threatened.
Well, right. Right.
Okay. Good point.
Speaking of today.
Yeah, talk about
you,
your life being
I thought I was going
to
die.
Since having been in Portland, at number one, we went to Trek in the Park, which
yes.
I should
kick
put...
kick ass.
Let me put the thing out there for anybody who hasn't heard about this. Trek in the Park is kind of like Shakespeare in the Park, except it's Star Trek, theatrically produced on a stage in front of a crowd for the entire month of August. So
yep.
If you are anywhere near Portland, Oregon, this is the last year they're doing it. It's a 5-year mission, and they're up to their 5th year. So they're doing the Trouble with Tribbles. And you can watch that for free in Cathedral Park in St. John's neighborhood of Portland, Oregon.
Get there early and stake out your blanket.
Right.
And stay there, too.
And don't worry. The tents will come down. You'll be able to see.
Yeah. If you want a good seat, you have to show up like at least a couple hours early.
Totally.
Well, I mean, but we were out there on the second day. But,
yeah.
But amazing show.
Yeah. So
that was awesome.
Basically, you were in town for like a half an hour. And then you and Aaron met
is that
me
about
at the
right?
food cart pod.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I almost died coming into town, too.
Did you?
Oh, yeah,
because Houston Airport, I was on the plane.
Oh, yes.
The airport like, was on fire.
Yeah, first I walk into the airport, and like Houston was my layover, and all the fire alarms going off. Please exit the building.
This was going off. Like, it was already going off once you exited your plane
yes,
in Houston?
I deboarded my plane, and I'm
so
walking down.
So they let
down.
You off the plane while
yeah,
the
and
alarm
it's all
going
off,
going.
And I'm like, what the heck? So I go up to an attendant, and I'm like, why is the alarm going off? Should I leave? They're like, no, it's just a false alarm. Don't worry about it.
Which is what you're supposed to say when you're employed by someone and there's an actual problem. It's to avoid chaos.
Please exit the building.
This is indeed right. A more secure era.
Yeah. Improperly parked vehicles or unattended luggage will be removed. Yeah.
However, fire alarms, disregard those.
Disregard.
So you got on a plane. The plane had engine trouble.
Got a plane.
You were late.
No, got on the plane. The plane's like, all right, we're ready for takeoff. We're going to take off now. It goes down the runway and then halfway
Wait,
down the runway.
How did that go again?
Hey, we're ready for takeoff. We're going to take off now. That's cool. You guys cool with that? Okay. So we go down the runway, halfway down the runway, bah, slams on the brakes. Every if you have it in your hand, it goes flying forward. Yeah. Baby's crying everywhere. passengers, we're going to head back to the gate now. Don't worry, everything's fine.
Oh my God. Don't worry, everything's fine. Don't we worry. Just slammed on the brakes. All your children are crying.
Like, honestly, I didn't screw up.
Wait. So, it's all your,
you
all your
anything?
Yeah, all your knees are belong to us.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, and then we went back and they were like, yeah, the engine, like one, the main signal said the engine was, what was it? It was like the fuel in the engine was too cold or the engine itself was too cold. The main sensor was saying that. But then the second sensor, the backup sensor said, nah, don't worry. Everything's fine. Keep going. But I guess halfway through them taking off, they realized, yeah, we should probably stop.
Right. Like,
could be bad.
We don't know which one of these guys to listen to. We'll just turn around.
The proper shoulder angel. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that's how it went down, though.
So I got off, and they're like, you know, you have like 30 minutes to go get it yourself a beverage if you want. And I went and changed my pants.
There you go.
Came back, and they put us up in a hotel for the evening.
Okay.
And,
so you got a hotel. You finally made it in.
Yep.
And then you met us for
oddly
breakfast.
Enough, before takeoff, they were showing like the film, you know, like, you know, do this if the plane is, you know, in the event of a water landing, uh-huh. right? And the guy next to me is joking with his kid. He's like, if we crash, we're all going to die.
Oh, God, that kid is so traumatized now. He will never fly again.
There you go.
It's like, I got to... So man, I wish I was a fly on the wall for that conversation in that hotel room.
So after we came to a slamming stop, I just turned to him and glared. I'm like, right. Thank you. You did this to me.
Don't ever screw with your kid
again. How he's got to explain that to his son for the rest of the
night.
Well,
it was actually his daughter. But
or daughter.
I don't know. They seemed like they were
I just
like,
assumed that was a boy, didn't I?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's okay.
That's horrible.
Latent sexism. It's in all of us except for women.
I'm sorry.
We are no longer brothers. Just kidding. So that was the first instance I was going to die. So then we did Trek in the Park. I haven't been biking in over a year.
So that was your second time to die because we did a 10-mile ride from here to there and then another 10-mile ride back. And then what? Another 10-mile ride later in that evening.
I'm kind of a crummy bike. I mean, I guess it was okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It was okay. My butt hurt.
Yeah. Well, it had a big wide padded seat and shifting issues. Is that fair?
I don't know. I'm just a horrible shifter. Like, I don't know. I've always had trouble shifting. Like, with every single bike, I will stretch a chain out and break a gear.
Okay.
No problem.
All right.
So
that's kind of what I do with mine, too. So don't feel too bad.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But you kind of put yourself through the paces for that. And then today.
Oh, so the then I went to Clever Bikes and got, like, a rental.
Clever Cycles.
Oh, Clever Cycles.
Yes.
Our good friends at Clever Cycles. We love them.
Martina gave me a hug.
Oh. And nobody hugs Aaron except Martina.
Yep, that's right.
But yeah.
He won't even let me hug him.
Well, you know, he's afraid you're going to give him something. So you've got this bike that you got from Clever Cycles, and you guys took a ride out from here, from Portland, to...
Multnomah Falls.
Yes.
I mean, it was awesome. It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful experience.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I brought me closer to God.
Nice.
God lives on top of a hill, and he sells cherries and blackberries. And
there you go.
You can just throw the money in the box. He doesn't mind.
Right.
You know.
And you brought those back. We're going to eat them with ice cream once the show is over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
But I'm really glad Aaron took that ride seriously before we took off, because I was like, yeah, you know, it's like 30 miles. I just got done doing that with Trek in the Park. Yeah, it's cool.
Right.
I can do that.
Do it again.
He's
but this time there was elevation.
Yeah. Well, he was like, I think you need shorts. No, I'll just ride in my slacks. No, I think you need a. I think you need a biking shirt. Yeah. So he hooked me up.
Something where water like evaporates off you faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't die because of that.
Well, that's good. What are your impressions of the Columbia River Gorge?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So to speak.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I don't know. Gorgeous. I was hallucinating. So.
Yeah.
Oh, gorge. That was not intended.
Yeah, it's cool.
I didn't mean to do that.
Right. I mean, how does this 30-mile... Wait, this is a 60-mile ride compared to a 30-mile ride?
I think 50.
Okay.
50.
20, what was it? 24
point
or 24 something
there
from
back.
Well, from my place. So a little bit of added mileage. I guess not one. Never mind. To get to here, but yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's about 50.
About 50, yeah.
Yeah. And so the bike that you rented has the, what was it called? Dynamic hub shifting.
I don't know the technical name for it.
instead of a what digital shifting where you're going ka-chunk ka-chunk from one gear to the next,
or index shifting,
or index shifting. Yeah. That's even more digital.
Index or friction shifting.
Right? This is like fully,
and it's internal.
I don't even know how does it do that. Like the whole ride, I kept thinking, do they just insert spokes while it's in motion? Yeah. What's
honestly
going on here?
I don't even know how they work. But it's basically the idea where you twist the grip, which is ostensibly the shifter. The little picture of the bike and the hill turns into a bigger hill or a smaller hill.
Right. Yeah.
And it becomes easier or more difficult to pedal.
Yeah.
But it does it seamlessly and without kerchunks.
There's no clicks. There's no chance of, like, the, as far as I know, of the, like, chain falling off or anything.
Right.
No, because the chain doesn't move at all.
Right. The chain is always on one gear.
Within the hub.
And the hub itself. Yeah.
It's
magic, man.
It's
magic.
Like the circle has to get bigger or smaller. How else do you do that?
I don't know.
I heard something about, like, cones or cylindrical pyramids or something like that. Like, there's some... There's some geometry inside the hub that makes it work. I
pyramids.
Still don't know. Somebody's probably going to write in.
That.
Someone is yelling at their headphones
now. Mystical power of pyramids.
Don't you know?
Right. Well, there's a big eye at the top.
There's a bicycle gnome inside.
Precisely. But that made it probably very, like, you didn't have to worry about the chain falling off because no worry about that.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's nice.
Yes. It was a nice bike ride. So, I don't know. Aaron was definitely the bigger brother this bike ride. Yeah. I was crying every chance I got.
All right.
I was like, I can't let him see me cry.
Right.
You were fine. You did it like a trooper, man. I mean, I was feeling bad because, knowing you hadn't biked in a while. Well, I was ready to pull the plug. Like, even this morning was like, no.
I'm going to throw in the towel.
I got this one. Don't try. It's got fun for Adrian.
No, but.
Rocky, you washed
up. It's going to be 90.
Rocky, you washed up. You're no good.
No, I got this. I got this, Aaron.
Dan, you're no good. You're not going
anywhere.
That's
exactly how it went down to you.
You're a bum, Dan.
You're a bum. You'll always be a bum.
I'm supremely entertained really at this point. This is great.
I was kind of Sylvester Stallone at the beginning of this ride, to be honest. Because
right.
I was kind of like,
hey, it's no problem. I just get on the bike and I'll push pedals and I'll be done. You know, I don't see a problem with that.
Right.
That's actually Sylvester Stallone versus the character Rocky, though.
Yeah. No, I was totally Sylvester Stallone getting on that bike. And then halfway through, I was just a crying baby. I'm like, well, I wasn't halfway through. It was like we got to the falls, and then like from Vista
House. You were pretty good at the falls. Like you were tired. You admitted. Like,
are you saying he was good at falling down?
No.
Okay.
No.
The actual
once
waterfall.
We got to Multnomah Falls, he was like, yeah, that was pretty hard. But like you were still pretty ready to go.
I was still coherent. You could understand the words coming out of my mouth.
That's good.
Yeah, you weren't speaking in tongues or anything by that point.
I said I want to go home. I want to go home. Can't let him see me cry.
It's like, there's tracks there. Is that the Max?
Nope, that's Union
that's
Pacific.
Freight.
No, that's freight.
Right, and Union Pacific is like the enemy of all things bicycling. So, no, they're not the enemy. They do lease tracks to Amtrak.
They lease tracks to Amtrak? I thought Amtrak leased tracks to them.
Oh, they leased them from Union Pacific.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's like a renter-rentee sort of relationship. Amtrak is the renter.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
Except it's called leasing, I think. Anyways, you can't catch that with your bike unless you're like super fast and you have a bindle over your shoulder.
You must have a bindle.
Yeah. But
preferably full of beans.
I would hope so.
Or a mouth harp.
Right. Yeah, one of those. Yeah. So all things sold, you're here. You made it back. You're safe.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Took a lot of water.
That's good.
But I'm really glad
you
Aaron
did drink a lot of water, actually. I was really surprised at how much you went through.
Well, I mean,
it's better than,
I weigh almost two times as much as you. So I don't know if you've seen Aaron, but I look like somebody that has eaten Aaron.
We were talking about this
and
earlier.
The impression of Aaron shows through on the face of the guy that ate Aaron. That's basically what I look like.
Okay, fair
That's
enough.
One of the most disgusting visuals.
It's pretty bad.
Aaron, is that you? Did you let yourself go? No, I just ate him. Aaron's inside.
Help me.
Oh, my.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, hey.
We got to end this thing before it devolves.
Yeah, well, we've got bar trivia in half an hour, so it's probably about time. We got some news, so let's do our headlines here. How about that? And our headlines music is provided by Hurtbird, a beautiful Portland band, which I learned just banded recently. Still a great song. Fast, I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights. Okay, so we got the first thing up here is from this article is from the Chicago Tribune, but it's been all over the news, and those of you who have followed bicycling news in the news probably have heard about this already. Headline is, cyclist pleads guilty to first U.S. felony vehicular manslaughter by bike. A bicyclist who fatally struck a 71-year-old pedestrian while riding downhill in San Francisco has pleaded guilty to felony vehicular manslaughter, believed to be the first such conviction in the United States, prosecutors said on Tuesday. Under his plea deal, Chris Boucher, 37, will avoid jail time but will be required to perform 1,000 hours of community service and be placed on probation for 3 years. And basically what happened was he was going downhill on his bike, slammed into Su Chi Hui, who was 71, at an intersection that was crowded with pedestrians in the city's Castro District. The person struck did not die immediately, but died of complications from the accident. So
later on,
yeah. It's very number one underscores to me the extreme importance of being in control of whatever mode of transport you're in, whether that's a bicycle, a skateboard, a car to go,
and just being attentive to intersections.
Right, it was a busy intersection with lots of pedestrians.
Exactly, which means like if you're approaching this, you should be aware that people are probably going to be moving through that point at some point. So you have to be aware of like traffic flow and what's happening with that.
It's easy for you because you can read traffic just by looking at it.
I do my best.
You know the next 10 cars that are going to pass.
I read them like tea leaves, I don't know. I don't want to put too much blame in the cyclist court because I can understand when you're on a bicycle, oftentimes things happen.
You got that momentum going that you don't expect. Lose it.
Right, right. But at the same time, I feel like there's always room for more safety. There's always room for a little bit more caution, and that's why, like, jumping back to a story that I told on the show, like, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something, where I was stuck behind a TriMet bus in a bike lane, looking back and slowing to make sure it was okay to merge, and the cyclist behind me yelling at me because I wasn't passing, or I wasn't immediately moving, and I can't assume that was like necessarily mean spirited, but just like the idea that like you have to be patient, you have to be prepared when you're in a place where you're dealing with other people and other things in the road, to be prepared for that. Like, country cycling is one thing. If you're in the middle of the woods or out in Wyoming somewhere, you can assume that your road is going to be clear because, you know, no one else is there but you. In a city context, in an urban context,
it's harder for things to sneak up on you because there's less ambient noise.
Sure.
You know, in the city, there's a lot of ambient noise that we tend to tune out just because you're riding through traffic.
Right.
You don't think about the cars, like, sneaking up behind you, or you don't think about, like, the pedestrians crossing.
Right.
One would assume that, a pedestrian on the corner is going to wait for traffic to clear, but sometimes that's not a safe assumption, and I don't know
the
details. Right. I don't know the specific details, whether there was, like, a stop sign and pedestrian thought it...
Yeah, ran a light, or pedestrians always have right of way in that state, or something.
I don't know those specific details, but regardless, you know, intersections are especially dangerous. But in the city, again, you know, there's so much we get used to as far as traffic, and we tend to tune out, and it's kind of more dangerous. In those cases.
Right, right. It's interesting because this reminds me of a story I heard about somewhere, I want to say it was down in L.A., maybe Santa Monica, because I know they have a beach path there, where someone hit a pedestrian who, if it was Santa Monica, wasn't supposed to be on that path in the first place because they have separate paths for bicyclists and for pedestrians. But regardless, someone on a bike hit somebody else on foot, I believe, and I think there was, I think that was something that resulted in death. I'm not sure if that was the case or not.
But still not
all the headlines.
Manslaughter.
Right. All the headlines are saying this is the first time that someone has been convicted of vehicular manslaughter as a bicyclist. So anyways, all to say, like, be careful when you're out there. If if you're in a place where other people are, you know, don't be afraid to pedal back a little bit. Take it easy. If you're going for a time trial, you can always make that up somewhere else. If you're going for speed, if you're late, try and plan a little bit more time into your schedule, that
you
sort
know,
of thing.
And
you
our
know?
City streets really the place for your time trials? I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't do time trails anyways, so it's okay. But, yeah. Not saying there's anything wrong with a time trail.
No.
You can do a time trail if you want to. So anyways, there was that. I thought that was an interesting thing. You brought it up. You reminded me that that was the thing. It came
right.
up so about a month ago, right? Was when it hit the
couple weeks.
The headlines.
I think it was still in July.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're in August now.
Right. You know. But anyways, that's an interesting story. And if anybody else has commentary, of course, send it to us. Send us if you disagree. We'd love to hear your counterpoint. If you agree, we'll probably just slap that thumbs up onto our Facebook page or something. We won't. I don't know. I'm not sure why I said that.
I wasn't aware. We do have a Facebook page.
We do, actually. So there's one more story that former co-host Brandon Rhodes forwarded to me, and I thought it was very interesting. 11 ways I'm trying to achieve a sane relationship with the internet. And this is one of those times where we talk about the intro, talking about the internet. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
Sometimes.
But the internet has enormous potential to distract and to take us away because now we carry it in our pockets. But yeah. I think at the same time that it's a useful tool, it's also somewhat distracting, and it can go towards you know, breaking the social fabric between us instead of serving to reinforce it. So there's one guy here, the author, whose name I Michael Sakasas, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. He just came up with a list of things that he is trying to do to make his use of the internet less violent or less destructive to his interpersonal relationships. He says, here's the list. Remember, I am the primary audience for this advice. So he's not necessarily saying everybody should do this, but he's saying sure. These are the things that are most helpful to me. So I'll just I'll read them off real quick. Number one, don't wake up with the internet. Don't wake up and immediately go to your device. Number two, don't remain ambiently connected to your email. So don't always be checking your email. Number three, sit on a link for a few hours or even a day before sharing. Don't add to the noise. Number four, don't take meals with the internet. You know, eat your food, then go back and look at your information. Yeah. Number five, breathe, because apparently sometimes people's breath patterns change when they're writing emails.
That's very intriguing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. He links to an entire other article about that. Number six, do one thing, one whole complete thing at a time whenever it's reasonable to do so. So don't save drafts. Don't read half of an article. Don't half-ass anything. Whole-ass one thing.
You have like seven tabs open, and
right.
all of which are like half-read. Yeah.
No, I have like five tabs open right now. Clear the
all of which are half-read. Yeah.
Clear the RSS feed at the end of the day. Don't stack up a bunch of articles that you're not going to read. It's like old magazines or something.
That is my downfall with the iPod.
Oh, yeah.
They should never have put a reading list on there. I won't ever complete that. I should really just clear it all out and start over.
Yeah, and I told Brandon that's the hardest one for me too, because I'm a completist. I like to, you know, I like to do everything of a thing.
Yeah.
So that I'm not sure what I think about that one yet, but there's that. Number eight, turn off all notifications that threaten to interrupt or distract. That's the one that I've used the most. So like if your thing is going to buzz or vibrate or make a noise.
Bloop-doop.
Make it quiet so you don't have to think about it while you're talking to people. I like that one myself. Number nine, turn devices off when spending time with others. Kind of connected. Number 10, log off social media sites after visiting them so you don't have to go back like all the time to see if someone liked your status or whether you know, your Instagram is getting likes when, you know, somebody else had a stupider Instagram that's getting way more likes than mine was. And number 11, don't go to bed with the internet. Basically, like, make this part of your, you know, part of your midday, not part of your beginning and end. So I'm intrigued. I think these are interesting things. We'll put the link up so that you can read the article yourself. Aaron, is there any of those that stick out to you?
Some of those could be applied to television.
That's true.
For those of us who still, you know, use televisions. I used to for the longest time. This is also kind of going to bed with the internet too. But for the longest time, I would watch TV or watch Hulu on the internet,
which is kind of like TV.
Which is yeah,
on
it's the same as TV really. Until like I fell asleep, and then, you know, whether or not I'm in the middle of a program, like that's when I knew, okay, I guess it's bedtime. Yeah, that really resonates. I still have a problem with that. You know, even though like the only computing device at this point that I own is my iPod.
Right. You still own a computer, right? But it doesn't work.
Yeah. It's, I own this thing. it's kind of just a glorified paperweight
at
this point. But yeah, it's something I really kind of that resonates with me because it's really easy for me to go, you know, oh, I can't sleep. Well, I'll just watch a SNL rerun.
Right.
Blip.
Right.
And, you know, of course I fall asleep. And
yeah. Yeah, I'm fascinated by the idea that, like, you know, connection is great and connection is tricky. Because, I mean, obviously, this is, if you're listening to this podcast now, you're using a digital device. You're using the internet to hear our show.
Someone used the internet to get here.
Right, right. We use the internet to make the show and to give it to you, and you're using it to get, yeah. So, I mean, it's all, yeah. We're not saying it's bad, but I think there are nuances that either, you know, make it better or worse for you. So I think it's, yeah, it's interesting
And it's all in the name of fostering better relationships with each other.
Right.
And that, I think, is definitely something to be attentive to because back when I was hanging out with the Rhodeses, and this is, I hope, in no way a denigration of them, but oft times we would be hanging out and we would, like, be talking and then the conversation would lull and then, you know, all of a sudden all of us at
It's a cultural trend, yeah, especially if you're familiar with somebody.
Rectangle.
Yeah, I think
and that's true too. Like, yeah, I'm comfortable with them, and so I don't feel the need to like continue making small talk or
sure.
meaningless conversation.
And maybe you too can identify with this, but I find that it's far easier for me to do something antisocial to my family than it is to do something antisocial to people that I'm not related to or that I'm not as close to. Like, if you're close to people, it's easier just to, like, you know, whether it's pulling out your iPod and ignoring somebody else.
I don't know. Like, we always have piñatas to bang.
Is that racist?
Was it? Damn.
Set our people back. Good job, Aaron. Good job. No.
I kid.
We always sit around making salsa, dipping our chips in them, our homemade tortilla chips.
Thank you, Flores Brothers. I've painted myself into a corner that I can't get out of. You're going to have to get me out of this one.
It's cool. I did it. I set our people back.
I'm just kidding.
But and now it's the Frito Bandito in the corner. Thank you. No, I'm just thinking... the idea that, like, you know, it's far easier for me to say something like rude to someone I'm related to because they'll forgive me
or do something rude. Yeah.
Or
certainly.
Do something, like, rude. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even remember if I've ever done this the last time we were hanging out, but I certainly would feel comfortable enough to just kind of walk out of the room, you know, and let the conversation kind of stagnate, you know, rather than like try to wrap things up or, you know, I don't know, check in with each other to say, like, is there any more you need to say or whatever? You know, and yeah. I mean, it's not to say, like, it has to be that formal or anything, but
sure.
Certainly it is. Like, you're comfortable with each other. And that's why, like,
yeah.
That's why couples fight. That's why, like, family fights. Because
right.
They're more comfortable with disagreeing and kind of being angry at each other.
So a similar dynamic is that, like, if everyone has a rectangle with information in it, they might all pull those out without saying, hey, are we done with this conversation?
Right.
And
do you mind if I check my Facebook page?
Some
right
people,
now,
yeah, or? Some people have that. Which one was this? It was, here it is. The quote is, shut the laptop when speaking to another person. This is about turning devices off. If you're hanging out with other folks, this may seem quaint or reactionary or nostalgic or antiquated or judgmental or curmudgeonly. I see it as a way of remaining minimally civil and decent, whether or not I'm accorded the same civility and decency in return. If you must attend to a call or text, politely indicate as much and do so. Better that than surreptitiously attending to your device while still attempting to give the impression of attentiveness.
Oh, that's the
that's
worst.
A meaningless charade, and everyone involved knows it. Which I thought was
Aww.
A great. That's a great quote. Yeah,
I really
and so,
am paying attention, though. I really am. It's,
right,
my face
right.
Doesn't say it, but I really am.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I care.
But, I wasn't gonna say anything, but
I really do, though.
Anyways, well, it's food for thought, and I thought it was fascinating, Dan.
Some of that, though, it seems like depending on what job you have, and maybe this is maybe not part of the simple life aspect of this whole thing, but some of this you have to be, like, certain jobs you have to be connected to your email.
Oh, sure,
you have to be ready,
right?
You know, for that email to come in. Okay, do this now,
right? And I think what they're saying is it's not necessarily the problem that you're checking your email, but if you're like pretending to talk to someone without saying, hey, I think I have an email from work, that's like the... Yeah, it's the difference between having...
Or like just giving the warning, like, I might have to interrupt this conversation at some point. As opposed to, like, you know, being asked a question and you're trying to answer their question, but in the meantime, also kind of finishing up some typing or whatever. Yeah, I think it's kind of honoring to the relationship to be able to say, like, okay, can you hang on a second while I finish this up? Or, again, like, giving warning, like, I may have to interrupt.
Yeah. And if anybody else is interested in conversations along these lines, there was a fascinating interview with Krista Tippett from the On Being podcast from APM.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say it was called Alive Enough was the episode. It was pretty good. And then I believe Tara Gross also interviewed somebody on Fresh Air from NPR. And I can't remember which... I do not remember who she talked to, but they had a fascinating conversation about cell phone etiquette as well.
Fascinating human being.
Exactly, yes. That was a good Terry Gross. So anyways, we should probably get rid of this this news segment because, you know, we're done.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
And then, oh yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, and just for the record, as you mentioned, Krista Tippett, what do? I pick up my iPod and I start.
Good job.
I'm gonna say what episode that was. So now I'm just going to put it down. We're going to live with the mystery.
It's
cool. I thought we were connecting, but obviously you don't care about me.
Nope. I don't give a fuck about all y'all.
Well, anybody who's curious, I'm sure, was probably going to be Googling it right now.
That's true.
And then yelling at their earphones later. So.
And ignoring their family.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, one more little bit here.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Is that Aaron?
That is, yeah.
That's awesome.
How'd
you do that?
One little piece. See, what I did is he said it earlier, and then I took that recording and brought it back to this present moment.
Awesome.
Technology. just one little piece here. Dan from Minnesota, he did move away from his former home. Now he lives in Bemidji, I believe. And,
Bemidji!
Yeah, and he's been working
great
with that
in the summer.
Yeah, we mentioned something about drum brakes. He says, I have drum brakes. So, thanks, Dan. Huh? So, hey, that's our show, I think. Is there anything else we need to wrap up?
You told me you were going to add the recording of you telling me to shut up at the end of that.
Oh yeah. Well, I still have to doctor that soundbite.
Come on.
I've been pretty busy lately.
Okay. Yeah. You're right.
I will say
it is summer.
I will say
and we do have things to do.
That's true. For work, I have been editing maps.
Tell everybody what you do
because I'm a school bus driver during the school year.
Awesome.
I drive school buses. During the summer, they get ready for the school year by adjusting various things. Sometimes it's student information. Sometimes it's map data. And for the past 2 or 3 days, I have been sitting in front of a computer changing the maps that they build the routing off of. So, I mean, that really doesn't have too much to do with anything except that I love maps and I've spent 8 hours a day for the past 3 days. With maps.
Wait.
Yeah.
They don't love you like I love you. Wait.
I don't think that song
maps,
is actually.
Maps. Wait.
Hey, I've got in my hands here, which just came in the mail today, our...
we've got physical mail.
That's right. We've got... Wait.
No!
You've got mail.
I've got...
okay.
Thank you.
I've got actual mail here in my hand. We got our copy of The Culinary Cyclist written by Anna Bronis. I'm going to have to ask her. Maybe it's Brones.
Bronis.
It's B-R-O-N-E-S, so it's probably Brones. Anyways, Anna is writing this book that was released by Ellie Blue Publishing. She's the author of Taking the Lane and many other fine publications. And The Culinary Cyclist is... It talks about making food and getting food from one place to another with a bicycle. Basically, food for the lifestyle that we have chosen. So we're going to talk to her in like 3 weeks or 2 weeks or something like that. 2 weeks,
two
I think.
2 to 3 weeks.
Very close.
Please
very
wait.
Soon. Yeah.
So 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, so we're going to have to see if we can convince her to get into the kitchen with us and actually make a thing, and we'll just like record ourselves making food while we talk to her.
The Sprocket Cooking Show.
Right.
Make a cake that tastes like Iron Man 3.
I think that's possible.
I think it's already been done.
That was hilarious. I don't know if I'm allowed to. Is there copyrights? We can't mention that.
I don't know. They're. Okay. I mean, we're mentioning a product or a video, but
is cake copyrighted?
It's not like, A cake? Yes. Betty Crocker owns the copyright.
Better yet, is this copyrighted? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
So, hey, we're at the end of the show. We should probably kind of get out of here. And we have bar trivia in 10 minutes.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, it's about time to go. So, hey, this is the end. Thank you, Dan, for joining us.
Not a problem. It was my pleasure.
How was that Coors Light?
Yes, it's delicious.
There you go.
I don't know. Yeah.
Were the mountains blue?
No shame. I like it.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774. Also works for SMS.
Yeah.
Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing the theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Thanks to Hertbird for our headline sounder. Find them at hertbirdmusic.com.
Find him.
Have a good week, everybody. See you later.
Go to bed. No fluids.
I know, but do you remember moral oral?
Do you remember biology?
In the spirit of your special.
What the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know what I need to bring you is like Colombian malt soda. No, it's good.
You've had pollen malt?
No, I've had malt sodas before that taste like pony.
The FCC ain't got shit on me and Denzel Washington.
It's from Training Day.
Well, he said Godzilla.
Godzilla ain't got
shit. Oh, King Kong.
Yeah. I'm just gonna lay on the floor. Can you just mic me at the floor, put the mic over my mouth?
The rain in Spain.
Is there a theme song?
There is. Oh, thank you. And a script.
Totally.
And a script?
Oh, yeah. We got you covered.
Where's my part?
You don't.
Okay, tell me when. I'll just stay silent and eat and tell me when.
It's kind of like Space Ghost Coast to Coast where everything's scripted except for where the guests.
They say stuff and then you go back and then you cut it and then put it all together.
Exactly.
Okay.
Did you do show notes or no?
No.
Okay.
None. And we don't really have any news either.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Okay, so you're talking.
We could, me and Aaron could share a mic and then start singing Air Supply songs to each other.
Not going to happen.
Gross.
I was with you until to each other.
I convince you that what we feel is real.
Oh, yeah. And one more thing. I'm going to...